Chapter 19. Team Structure. As a tech lead, you can have an outsized influence in shaping your team's dynamics and processes. But how do you use this influence to create a structure that's healthy and functions well? In this chapter, we cover 1. Roles and titles. 2. Team processes. 3. Boosting team focus. 1. Roles and titles. How does your team work, and who has which responsibilities? Ultimately, the manager of the team is responsible for ensuring these are clear. As a tech lead, you need to understand how roles are defined and divided across the team for your own role and fellow team members. The difference between titles and roles. Titles confer reasonable expectations upon their holder. For example, a software engineer with the title New Grad Software Engineer is unlikely to be expected to spot hidden risks in complex projects. But someone with a senior engineer title is expected to be able to identify such risks. For staff engineers, it's usually a baseline expectation. Roles on the team are often temporary positions like project lead for a piece of work, or the owner of a certain feature, or a meeting facilitator. Tech lead can be a title or a role. In some workplaces, tech lead is the title and career level after senior engineer. Leading key initiatives across a team and being the point of contact for other engineering teams is often an expectation. At other companies, tech lead means the same as project lead or engineering lead. In such places, it's a role more than a title and is used in long-running projects or for parts of a product. For example, the tech lead of checkout is most likely the engineering lead. Roles can be implicit or explicit. When roles are explicit, they're directly communicated to team members to avoid confusion. It's clear who is the lead for which project, who's the point of contact for a feature, and who's taking the weekly on-call. A team with explicit roles could define them like this. Project Xeno lead, Sam. Support engineer for the week, Bob. Rotates weekly. On-call engineer for the week, Eva. Point of contact for project stakeholders, Sarah. In practice, roles are often implicit. It's common for engineers to simply pick up a role, and this may not be widely communicated. This approach works fine in teams with good communication, but implicit roles cause confusion in some scenarios. For example, two team members think they own the same role, such as leading a project. Team members think they're the point of contact for a feature or project and make decisions without consulting others. Team members assume someone else owns an area like pre-release load testing, so nobody does this important work. Decide which roles are explicit. As a tech lead, figure out which roles are explicit and which are implicit in your team, starting with your own. At the very least, be clear what your manager expects of you. Exercise. Map out and list the roles on your team by talking with your manager and teammates. Who has which role? Do the roles overlap? Is there confusion about roles? Do some overlaps cause conflicts? One approach I've seen consistently works well is making the project lead role explicit to the whole team, no matter how small a project is. It creates accountability for the person leading the project and provides clarity to others. On teams with many projects, there's scope for everyone to lead a project. 2. Team processes. Which processes should a team have in place? This is actually the wrong question to start with. Processes are not the reason why teams exist. They exist to get things done. Processes can aid this, or they can get in the way. As a team grows, lessons are learned about how to operate better, ship faster, more reliably with higher quality, and how to iterate quicker. Some learnings lead a team to put in place practices and processes which help engineers achieve goals, which are almost always related to speed, quality, reliability, serving customers, and the business. There are processes that help engineering teams, just as there are common engineering practices which usually make sense, like code reviews and testing. But not all processes are helpful. The best way to know if a process, such as an on-call rotation, really solves a pain point is personal experience. Here is a selection of common team processes worth knowing and trying out. Once they're in your tool belt, you can decide which to deploy as needed. Planning. Brainstorming sessions. Involving engineering in planning with other disciplines, such as design or business stakeholders. Project kickoffs. Design documents and/or requests for comments, RFCs. Architecture decision records, ADRs. Building. Prototyping. Code reviews. Automated testing. Continuous integration. Documenting decisions. Releasing. Continuous deployment. Release plans. Feature flags and experimentation. Signing off with stakeholders such as product, compliance, or security. Gathering feedback from customers. Canaries and automated rollbacks. Maintaining. On-call process. Support engineering. Incident reviews. Improving infrastructure and platforms. Periods of non-product development, such as fixing tech debt or improving infrastructure. Engineering productivity. Team retrospectives. Handling tech debt. Investing in efficient tooling like CI/CD, helpful scripts, etc. Reducing frequency of meetings. No meeting days. Team health. Team events and off-sites. Spontaneous team events like getting ice cream. For remote teams, organizing events where everyone gets together, or virtual fun events. Celebrating team and individual achievements. Remove processes as well. Don't only add more. Most teams introduce new processes over time. After all, a team makes mistakes, learns from them, and puts new processes in place to avoid the same mistakes in the future. As a tech lead, you are among the best-placed people to champion the removal of redundant processes. This matters because efficient engineering teams are nimble and tend to be low on process by default. When you see a process with questionable value add, consider removing it. If there's a process that consumes time and effort, can it be automated partially or fully? Remember, processes are never the goal. Don't ask which processes your team should have in place. Ask how the team can get stuff done better and faster. When making changes to processes, you might need to get buy-in from your manager. Part of being a tech lead is creating space for everyone to work better, so your manager will likely support such an initiative. Just explain to them the productivity and morale boosts that derive from decluttering. 3. Boosting team focus. As a tech lead, one of your main roles is helping teammates focus on the right thing. If people are working on the wrong thing or keep getting distracted, they won't execute as expected. To help the team focus, be clear what their priorities are or what a project's priorities are. What the most important thing to get done is, what comes next, and so on. A way to ensure you focus on the right thing is to write it down and confirm it with your management chain every now and then. Keep reminding your team of the focus because repetition is often helpful. For example, during a weekly stand-up, summarize the focus of the current phase. Even more frequent reminders can be helpful for new joiners, less experienced colleagues, and easily distracted people. Push back on sudden changes of focus. Resist abrupt changes to your team's top priorities, even if these come from above. A team that switches focus frequently can easily become unhealthy, and good tech leads protect their teams from it. There are a few ways you can push back when your manager or a stakeholder wants to change a team's top priority. Impact. Ask about the impact of the new work. If the impact is unclear, refuse to start it. After all, why would your team work on something of dubious value or whose impact is less than the team's top priority? A written spec. Ask for a specification of the work which answers the why and the what. This could be a product requirements document, PRD, or a summary, and it should include the impact. If the person seeking to interrupt the team cannot coherently explain the problem, then there's a good chance your team would be disrupted for no good reason and would spend days figuring out what to do. If there's no spec, refuse to start the work. Alternatively, you could offer to co-write a spec, but be clear that no work will start until all stakeholders sign it off, as skipping this step risks wasted work later. Engineering planning and feasibility. Assuming the spec is clear and you know why the new work is important, what its impact is, and what you're being asked to do, still don't start work until the team does some basic engineering planning and estimation. There might be risks which make the work impractical. Also, a project intended to take just a few days could last months after planning is done. Make the cost of context switching painfully clear. When a stakeholder, another team, or your manager asks your team to start working on something new right now, they're often unaware of the actual cost of a full context switch. If the team stops working on what they're doing now, it will take time to wind down and ramp up to the new work. This usually takes days, but could be more depending on the current work's complexity. Team morale will certainly drop if people are told to throw away work. Offer alternatives to get the work going without disrupting the whole team. Assuming that impact and the why and what are clear and engineering effort is roughly estimated, offer alternatives which don't involve the whole team stopping what they're doing. Could someone who's winding down on the main project pick up the new work? Or could the work begin nearer the end of the current project? Does the new work need more user feedback or for stakeholder disagreements to be sorted first? My experience is that if your manager or a stakeholder comes with urgent work to be done at once, then that work is likely to be too vague, with unclear impact and unwarranted urgency. As a tech lead, do your due diligence and be cautious about allowing the team to be distracted from their current work. You might rationalize that one interruption is fine, but there will be another, and another, and another after that. It's a slippery slope. So the sooner you set boundaries for protecting the team, the better off everyone will be.